Functions, including criminal investigation.
They said today that there is a backlog at the FBI lab in Quantico, Virginia. This is a lab that helps with evidence in both federal, state, and local investigations. And because they aren't up to staff because of the shutdown, they are seeing a backlog of work there.
Secretary of State Mike Pompeo stopped in Egypt today, part of that nine-nation Middle East tour promoting administration policy. He spent a good bit of his time defending the president's decision to remove U.S. troops from Syria.
Let me be clear. America will not retreat until the terror fight is over. We will labor tirelessly alongside you to defeat ISIS, Al-Qaeda, and other jihadists that threaten our security and yours.
It's now been 100 days since the murder of dissident Saudi writer Jamal Khashoggi. CBS's Cammy McCormick.
There is still no definitive answer to how Khashoggi was killed or where his remains are. Amnesty International staged a protest today outside the Saudi consulate in Istanbul where Khashoggi was killed. The group wants an international investigation led by the UN. Turkey and Saudi Arabia have conducted their own investigations, but there's been a lot of contradictory explanations regarding what happened.
National Weather Service's Climate Prediction Center today issued a report saying there is a 65% chance of an El Nino weather pattern emerging this spring. That's up from a 60% prediction just last month. El Nino, a warming of ocean surface temperatures in the eastern and central Pacific, has been linked to weather-related crop damage, fires, and flash floods. On Wall Street right now, the Dow is up 5 points, the NASDAQ down 8. This is CBS News.
National Mortgage Lender, Quicken Loans. Apply simply. Understand fully. Mortgage confidently. Licensed in all 50 states. Equal housing lender. NMLS number 3030.
Do you owe the IRS more than $10,000 in personal or business taxes and you can't afford to pay? You have the right to tax representation. Has the IRS threatened to shut down your business, freeze your bank accounts, take your home, your cars, or garnish your wages? You may qualify for special programs to stop this process. Get tax representation. Call the Tax Help Hotline at 800-556-7089. That's 800-556-7089. Within 24 hours, the threats will stop. Just call 800-556-7089.
It's time to join the millions of people using Zoom video conferencing. Turn any size conference room, huddle room, or executive office into a Zoom room with flawless HD video, crystal clear audio, and instant wireless sharing. It'll even work with your existing hardware. Start your meetings with a single touch or use Zoom's new voice command feature. Hey Zoom, start meeting. Huddle happy. Visit Zoom.us to set up your free Zoom room trial today. That's Zoom.us. Zoom video conferencing.
The views expressed on the Buckmaster radio program are not necessarily the views of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, or its sponsors.
Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster along with Ray Allen. Ray's been with me all week here on the other side of the microphone. On the other side of the glass. Yeah, other side of the microphone. Anyway, Bob Dio taking the week off, and it's good to be reunited with Ray, and together we welcome you to the Buckmaster Show. Thursday, the 10th of January, 2019. Exciting things happening here at KVOI with Bustos Media and our new owner. We're so excited about these new studios behind me that we've been working on. I just took a look at the new control room. Oh my goodness. Beam me up, Scotty. It's like Starship Enterprise. That is going to be really a lot of fun. We may be in there in a few days. Hope so. You're listening to AM 1030 KVOI, Tucson's voice for trusted local news and talk. We have our worldwide live listening on my website, buckmastershow.com, and Last Thursday, was our 8 full years, so that was the 8th anniversary. We're now into 9 years, and we've pretty much got every show we did. Steve Christie is with me in studio. Steve, we've got pretty much every show since we began the radio project January 3rd, 2011.
Well, let's listen to every one of them.
At 2011, when I launched the show, were you still in the automobile business?
No, I wasn't. I was at that time serving on the Arizona State Transportation Board and the Regional Transportation Authority.
Yeah.
I had sold the business in 2007.
Yeah, Mike Hammond now has the seat,
correct,
right?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, that was a six-year. It's a six-year.
Five-year.
Five-year,
uh-huh,
on that board. So transportation is, it's not like you got off the bus yesterday in the transportation.
I've been involved in it for quite some time. It kind of runs in the family.
Steve Christie is with us. Mr. Christie, representing the 4th Supervisorial District, and it's 2 years now that Steve Christie, pretty much, maybe 2 years, pretty much to the day that you were sworn in to office.
Yeah, January 2nd, I think.
So we're very, yeah.
Very close.
It's very close. What about your future political plans? Are you ready right here on the program to announce that you will be going for, standing for election for another 4-year term next year?
Yes, I am. I've always said that from shortly after I was elected 2 years ago, that I plan on running for reelection. And if this is a venue for an announcement for my reelection, then I'm glad to utilize it here in on your show, Bill. And yes, I am going to run for reelection for another 4-year term beginning in, 2008?
20.
2000?
Well,
it would be 2000.
Yeah, it's next year.
2021 basically. Would be when I take off.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Yeah, but it'd be basically folks gearing up here because the election would be in November of 2020. I'm not sure when the primary would be, but normally it's the end of August.
Yeah, but
who knows if you'll even be primaried.
I will. I love being supervisor. I absolutely love it, and I can't wait to run for reelection.
How has this been different than running an automobile store?
Actually, there's a lot of similarities. More than anything, I kind of try to express to my staff when we're dealing with the most important element, and that is constituent services. And it's just like running a service department. I've always said in the car business, sales is the lifeblood, but service is the backbone. And people elect individuals to office for specific reasons, one way or the other, but a lot of it is that if they have a specific problem or challenge or obstacle that they have exhausted all their resources to try to solve, we, as their elected representatives, are there to see if we can help. And I have to say I'm very, very proud of the successes we've made in my office on the level of constituent services. We have a great relationship with probably the most visited issue, and that's transportation-related issues, road repair, things of this nature. And I have to say, we've been getting a lot of accolades from our constituents about how quick we respond and how quick the problem is resolved. And most importantly, it's the knowledge that is, I think, being spread out quite effectively throughout my district that my office is receptive and willing to help and intervene with my constituents, and that we've done that, and we've gotten a lot of very good response on that. And it's, as I say, you've got to keep your customers happy. And my customers are my constituents, and I'm going to do everything I can to continue to make them happy.
You know, if you buy an automobile, that's one thing. I mean, that's great for the dealership, but the problem is keeping someone coming back if they're not happy with a service experience that you would encounter.
Correct. And what the approach should be to an unhappy customer is that it's an opportunity to turn that customer around and make him or her an apostle of your dealership by providing and listening to the problems they have and remedying them and solving the issues and the problems. And that's why I say there's so many similarities in my 40-year background in the automobile business to what I'm doing now, because it really comes down right to the bottom brass tacks that you've got to take care of the people you represent. And if they have a problem, you need to make sure you're there to hear them, listen to them, and respond to them.
And you can take care of some of the road issues that, like if it's a severe pothole or something like that, a call to your office.
I don't want to get a lot of calls.
I know. But when I say severe, it can be whatever. If people in Green Valley or Sahuarita, sure, your area, have an issue, you can make a couple of calls.
Absolutely.
To transportation, right?
Exactly, yeah. And that's what we do. We try to put the appropriate parties together to make sure that the issue gets addressed and resolved.
And, of course, it's an interesting district because you've got newer roads in Sahuarita, then you've got the older in Green Valley, the old roads.
Yeah, we have very few roads in Sahuarita because it's an odd situation supervisorial-wise, district-wise, because there really are three supervisors that cover Sahuarita. So my share of those new roads is minimal. So the issues I have with roads from north all the way to Mount Lemmon to south to Green Valley and east through the Tanque Verde Valley and Vail, I have a huge portion of my roads older and consequently falling more and more into disrepair and needing more and more attention. So it's a challenge, and I don't have the luxury as some of the newer communities do and some of the newer jurisdictions do to have roads that are not nearly as old as the ones that we have in District 4.
Are the roads, what can be done now? It's back to the drawing board. What can be done with Pima County roads?
Well, we had several issues before the board to try to answer those questions, and they didn't gain much legs or traction. So at this particular point, we have two routes to go. First and foremost is what we have within our own budget that we can analyze and look at to see if there is the ability to take funding that we receive either from the budget itself or from HERF funds or VLT funds that come in to try to analyze and determine if those funds can be better utilized to go directly to repairing roads and to fixing the roads. That, I think, is going to be a main focus because that's basically all we have left. We need to find a local solution, not rely on a problem from Phoenix, a solution from Phoenix or Washington, because if that ever happens, it probably won't trickle down to Pima County. Of course, the other issue that is always on the drawing boards and out there as well that we're going to be taking particularly close attention on is expanding the role and mission of the Regional Transportation Authority. And seeing if there's ways that, as my original plan called for, that the RTA would be in charge of a road repair plan. And perhaps there's some life in that issue still that we can analyze and look forward to. But I think at this particular juncture, everybody needs to take a breather on this type of subject because there's been tax fatigue, voter fatigue, election fatigue, and I think all those fatigues I just mentioned outweigh the fatigue that people feel driving our roads. So we have to make sure that if we're going to go a route such as RTA in charge and expanding the RTA mission, that we do it in a comprehensive manner and in a very sensitive manner because voters right now, they're experiencing a lot of uncertainty and disillusionment. And the most important thing that we can do is listen to what the voters are telling us and certainly not jeopardize any kind of future RTA or infrastructure funding.
Steve Christie is with us, Pima County Supervisor in District 4, which is a really large district, isn't it?
It is.
Sprawling district.
Does it
go all the way to Mount Lemmon?
All the way to Mount Lemmon, Summerhaven. It's the most beautiful district in Pima County. It has the best people that live in Pima County. And it has the greatest opportunities in Pima County, as far as I'm concerned. And it is the fastest growing. There's so much vibrancy and new developments happening in Pima County. It really is, I think, the most attracting part of people that are looking to relocate to southern Arizona and Pima County. They look at the far east side, the southeast side, my district, all the way from the south end of Green Valley is Sahuarita. Of course, the Tanque Verde Valley is absolutely gorgeous, and Vail is such a, well, I call it the jewel in the crown jewel in the county structure of Pima County is certainly the Vail area.
All right, Steve Christie will stick around for another segment, 790-2040, and as Mr. Christie has. He has in the past brought me chocolate chip cookies. He knows the way to my heart is through bakery goods. And, of course, that's why, Steve, I'm always so pleased to talk about the official bakery of the Buckmaster Show. And this is not in your district. It's in my district where I live, up in District 1. And it's my favorite bakery. And it's Mona's Danish Bakery, home of the Danish Kringle, northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise. The chief baker, owner, Steve, boy, he makes a mean chocolate chip cookie. I swear I could eat one of those morning, noon, and night, but I really, the poundage might be a problem there. Mona's DanishBakery.com. You can go to my website, BuckmasterShow.com. There's a link to Mona's and a link to all of our great sponsors. Mona's, Northeast Corner, Swan and Sunrise. We'll be right back. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
Did you know that you can check out complete digital editions of popular magazines with your Pima County Public Library card? From Arizona Highways to Yoga Journal and everything in between, the library is your source for entertainment. Visit library.pima.gov and browse the e-library to start checking out your favorite magazines today. That's library.pima.gov.
This is Bill Buckmaster. I'm passionate about travel, visiting over 100 countries in all 50 states. And when I'm ready to take off, I fly from Tucson International Airport. With 9 airlines flying nonstop to 22 destinations and easy one-stop connections, I can get virtually anywhere in the world. It's close by, convenient with competitive airfares, and there's no long drive coming back home after a long trip. Travel smart and fly Tucson. Check out flytucson.com. The Regional Transportation Authority has a 35-member Citizens Advisory Committee working to identify transportation priorities for the region and will be seeking public input on those priorities before too long. These priorities will help guide development of an RTA continuation plan. The current RTA plan and half-cent excise tax will continue through June 2026. To learn more, please visit rtamobility.com. For the first time ever, explore the Biosphere 2 Ocean and Beach and see up close how we're using the world's largest indoor living ocean for research on the future of coral reefs and rising ocean temperatures. During this privately guided tour, you'll learn why our world's oceans are so important, why they're being impacted, and how the Biosphere 2 Research Center is addressing the global challenges of food, water, energy, and health. The University of Arizona Biosphere 2 tours daily, biosphere2.org.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. We're on AM 1030 KVOI, Tucson's voice. Very strong voice. This AM station's got some real good legs. In fact, if you're driving over to Silver City, and I hope you do, you can pretty much hear KVOI a good distance of the way as you approach the New Mexico border. Silver City, they've been a great sponsor, one of our terrific partners. They're so pleased that I have sent a lot of our listeners over there. People, Steve Christie's with me in studio. Steve, we've sent people over there. You know, Silver City's only a three-hour drive, but a lot of people had never been over to that part of the beautiful Southwest.
Yeah.
It is a pretty area with lots of recreational opportunities. Go to southwestnewmexico.org, the complete listing of great places to stay and many recreation opportunities. I'm a car person like you, Steve. I like to drive. I like to be in a nice automobile like you're driving right now. And road trips are part of it, aren't they?
Oh, yeah. That's the idea behind having a car. You bet. That freedom of freedom and independence to go anywhere you want, whenever you want, not be tied to any schedule or fares or anything like that. You bet.
District 4 Supervisor Steve Christie announcing that he made it official here on the program he will be seeking and standing for another four-year term when his first four-year term will be up. Boy, how time flies in 2020, the end of next year. The board, you and your colleagues, by a 4-1 vote, have approved, actually, this might have been a couple of days ago, this week, the board approved a lease purchase of 75 East Broadway for a new office tower. You know, one of the things, Steve, that the economic development professionals, and they had this site selector guild group that came to town in 2017, one of the things, these are the people that put on these a big, huge association shows, and they said that Tucson had a lack of available what they call Class A offices, and this might go to remedy some of that at 75 East Broadway.
Yeah, it appears to be exactly that purpose, and it's basically taking county-owned property and transitioning it eventually into the private sector, which I think is always a good thing, and it certainly is part and parcel to what's happening in the revitalization of downtown. That landscape from just a few months, maybe a couple of years ago, to what it is now is almost unrecognizable. If you were to have left Pima County for 3 or 4 years and suddenly returned today, seems like a very attractive complex of buildings and seems to meet the needs that have been expressed to be out there. So the numbers seem to be in line, seem to be a good revenue source for the county after its initial purchase. And I think that it was a smart move on Rio Nuevo to facilitate that project. And I think it's going to be another example of downtown success and revitalization.
We will be talking with Fletcher McCusker, who has been pretty much engineering a lot of this change that we see downtown. And Steve Christie's been with us in this town a long time. You remember when, I'm sure you probably remember when downtown people would avoid it like the plague.
Yeah, when I was a preteen, I remember that there was kind of a transition that downtown was losing businesses, boarding up longtime enterprises down there. I remember when Hockamy Department Store, Hockamy's closed down, and Levy's was downtown, Steinfeld's, and they all moved out east. And that was about the time when I was probably in the fifth or sixth grade, and when Elkhorn Mall was built, that was the great big expansion and the whole new concept of malls. And accordingly, it really hurt downtown because of the vacancies and as well as the flight from downtown. So I never really, growing up, had much need or desire to go downtown as a kid and a young man, because there really wasn't anything down there. And that certainly has changed. And it's kind of odd because some of the malls around town, particularly Elkhorn and maybe the one out in the northwest side, that they've had their ups and downs, mostly downs. And downtown is making a huge revitalization and comeback.
The huge flight to the suburbs, of course, happening in the 60s, carrying on into the 70s. Where was your auto dealership? Where were you located?
Well, my stepdad, Ed Galloway, first started it in at 49 West Drachman. Just west of Stone, where the old KOLD Channel 13 studio was.
Right.
It was known as Tucson Equipment Company then, and they sold the Willys Overland franchise, which was Jeep, in 1948. And then a few years after that, 1955, I believe, they relocated around the corner to 1237 North Stone, which is now Pima Community College, but back then the dealership moved in with Jeep and Rambler, if you remember that name, American Motors.
Yeah, Ramblers.
And everybody was, you know, understandably kind of looked a little bit askance at Ramblers and American Motors, but it's kind of ironic to note that the building that my stepdad took over at 1237 North Stone with Rambler and Jeep was a former Edsel dealership.
Oh my gosh.
And then in the 60s, 67, my stepdad built a new, great big new facility at 5200 East Speedway where we had AMC, Jeep, and a number of franchises, including Chrysler and Plymouth. And then after I bought the dealership from my stepdad in 97, we moved to 22nd and Pantano with Steve Christie Chrysler Jeep.
Why that area?
There was a facility there that met our needs, and it was owned by Jim Click, and he was looking to consolidate some of his franchises, and he didn't need the bricks and mortar that was made vacant by that consolidation. And he knew I was looking to expand. We were landlocked on Speedway, and our business was booming, and he needed to sell that property, and he made me a screaming deal. And it one of my favorite stories. We shook hands on the price and on the move, and a couple of weeks later, that was about the extent of what we'd done so far. And I saw him at a Tucson New Car Dealer Association lunch meeting, and he pulled me aside and he said, "Stevie, I think we probably ought to get something in writing, don't you think?" I said, "Yeah, it'd probably be a good idea." But that was how we made the deal, and I kept that till 2007, and then we sold about a year, less than a year, before Chrysler went bankrupt.
Good timing.
Along with General Motors.
Hey, something I've always wondered about in the auto dealer business here in town. For years, our auto dealers were not open on Sunday. Mm-hmm. Now, was this some kind of an agreement, a gentleman's agreement among the dealerships that there would be no Sunday business?
There really was never any agreement. There was no agreement. It was just a matter of the market, because it's the auto dealer business, the car business, is very driven by hours, long hours, and your employees have to work those long hours. And many of us were finding that if they were working 7 days a week, you'd get burnout.
Yeah.
People say the hell with it, and you had a hard time trying to keep a staff. So
right.
That was how the closing on Sundays. One guy did it, then the next guy, and then finally everybody said, "This is a good idea, because it gives our employees a break to spend the day with their families."
Another quick car question. The auto mall, that was basically the idea that people could shop around in one location?
Yeah, it used to be, you know, one dealership would be on one side of town and one would be
so
the other.
So you had to drive if you wanted to do some looking.
That way you wouldn't allow your customer to be exposed to your competitor. But then the thought process, and the right thought process, was that why not have everything in one spot so your customer can't use the excuse that, "Well, I want to go shopping." Well, you're right across
the street.
We'll be waiting when you get back.
All right. Steve Christie with us talking about the auto business and, of course, talking about his decision to continue on. Hopefully, as far as he's concerned, would like to continue on as the District 4 supervisor on the Pima County Board. Steve Christie, always a pleasure. Thank you very much for being with us.
Well, thanks for having me. I can't wait to come back again.
What one quick question at the end here. What will be the big issue as far as you're concerned for 2019 on the board?
I have a very deep-rooted concern that there is a strong movement that needs to be monitored and watched, and that is that there is strong evidence that there are some factions in our county that strongly want to make Pima County a sanctuary county, and I think that's a dangerous thing, and I would not in any way, shape, or form support it or be for it, and will fight against it. But I see that coming, and it has been coming in a while, and it's been a deep concern of mine.
All right.
And I think this will be on the horizon that we'll have to watch very closely, and I will be prepared to do everything I can to prevent such a thing from happening.
And it's already an issue for the city, for sure. But
it
is. This is the first I've heard about a sanctuary county.
The city has already made the efforts, and the county usually is not far behind.
All right, Steve Christie, Happy New Year to you.
Happy New Year to you.
We'll be right back. It's Buckmaster on a Thursday.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine in a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
Did you know that you can check out complete digital editions of popular magazines with your Pima County Public Library card? From Arizona Highways to Yoga Journal and everything in between, the library is your source for entertainment. Visit library.pima.gov and browse the e-library to start checking out your favorite magazines today. That's library.pima.gov.
For the first time ever, explore the Biosphere 2 Ocean and Beach and see up close how we're using the world's largest indoor living ocean for research on the future of coral reefs and rising ocean temperatures. During this privately guided tour, you'll learn why our world's oceans are so important, why they're being impacted, and how the Biosphere 2 Research Center is addressing the global challenges of food, water, energy, and health. The University of Arizona Biosphere 2 tours daily, biosphere2.org.
This is Moa Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing.
And this is Bill Buckmaster. For several decades now, Moe has been my go-to expert for all my framing needs and bathroom mirrors. I trust Moe for service, professionalism, and top-of-the-line quality.
Thanks, Bill. Give us a call at 795-8226 and stop by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing on the southwest corner of Fort Lowell and Dodge, right next to Copenhagen, and on the web at moesgallery.com.
As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com. Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
It is the Buckmaster Show. We're on AM 1030 KVOI, Tucson's trusted local news and talk station. We're with our new owners, very committed to local talk. We do local talk here now from 6 a.m. to 7 o'clock in the evening. Localism is what it's all about with Bustos Media, our new owner, and I like that very much. It's time for our CEO interview series on the Buckmaster Show. It's presented by Sun Corridor Incorporated. Sun Corridor, a transformative economic development organization representing one of the most dynamic and growing major business centers leaders in North America. Sun Corridor, Inc. is a CEO-driven regional alliance whose members aggressively champion mega-regional issues that impact economic competitiveness and quality of life. The organization has helped to drive significant business investment into the Tucson and Southern Arizona region through primary job creation, resulting in an economic impact of nearly $25 billion, that's with a B, dollars, and 155 company locates and expansions supporting more than 44,000 jobs. For more information, visit suncorridorinc.com. Joining me in studio, Dr. Elliot Chu, Associate Dean of the University of Arizona College of Science. Dr. Chu is also a University of Arizona Distinguished Professor of Physics. Dr. Chu, good to see you again.
Thank you, Bill. It's a pleasure to be here.
You've been a busy guy, not only with all of your work with the College of Science, but you and another group of colleagues, part of the team that put together the new strategic plan for the University of Arizona. For those that aren't connected to the university, why is a strategic plan important to the institution?
Yeah, thanks, Bill. The team included, I was one of the co-chairs along with Lisa Ordonez. And when Dr. Bobby Robbins came to the University of Arizona, he really came with a vision saying that we're now entering into something that that's been termed the fourth industrial revolution, which is a confluence of biological, digital, and physical sciences, but also all the social impacts that go along with that. Just to give you an example, Uber is the largest transportation company in the world, but it owns no vehicles and actually has no employees. And and with that context, Dr. Robbins said, you know, the university has to adapt to that and be able to be educating and training our students and have our research align with that to be able to address these rapidly changing issues in the world.
When we say strategic plan, it's really kind of synonymous with blueprint, isn't it, for the future?
It is. It's really something we're looking at a 5 to 10 year horizon of what we're going to be investing in and the kinds of directions that we want to take the university.
And tell me about let's dig a little deeper into what are the areas where investment would be coming and hopefully coming.
Yeah, sure. So the plan is resting on what we call five pillars. The first pillar is aimed at improving student outcomes and really focusing on students. The second pillar is based on research that's happening at the University of Arizona. The third one is really aligns with what Sun Corridor is doing, which is economic development and really the role that the university plays in the local development, both economically as well as its role as a driver of knowledge for the region. Our fourth pillar is around global initiatives, and in particular, it's attracting international students to the university, but also developing something called microcampuses, where we're actually teaching University of Arizona curriculum around the world. And finally, the last one is something that has been really, I would say, a real challenge at the university, which is how to be work more effectively and efficiently using the limited resources that we have. So that's basically in a nutshell where the plan sits.
Is that fourth pillar kind of a streamlining what you're doing now in more on the internal way that business is done?
Yeah, so it's actually the fifth pillar, but yeah,
it's
the one where we're trying to look at the university is organized in a very diverse and decentralized manner, mm-hmm. which allows individual units to really play to their strengths. But it also leads to duplication of effort and inefficiencies. And as a lot of people in the business community will tell us, it's very challenging to work with the university because sometimes it's hard to figure out how to get the inroads. So part of the plan is to streamline that so that people understand that, kind of get rid of some of the inefficiencies and allow us to operate much more efficiently and effectively.
How big a deal is the university to economic development?
I don't know the actual number.
But I'm sure it's huge.
It's in billions of dollars.
Yeah.
And it's both in terms of one of the largest employers in Southern Arizona, but it's also the impact that we have on our research. It's the impact that we have on our students. And it's also, you know, many employers will want to move to an area, you know, look at Raytheon, where they can have a pipeline for talent. And often people will say that one of the things that drives relocating from other places in the country or in the world is having a great educational system, of which a university is really key.
How do the students benefit from this plan?
Well, the students are going to benefit for a couple, excuse me, a couple reasons. The first is that we're making a big investment through fundraising to try to bring more scholarships and stipends for graduate students, and really try to attract both high-achieving students but also high-need students. The University of Arizona actually has one of the highest rates of graduation rates for what are called Pell-eligible students, but students who need financial aid. In addition, we're really focusing in terms of recruiting, we're focusing on being able to ensure that our students can move through the university effectively and graduate in a timely fashion. And so some of the things that we're working on will help do that.
I know I graduated in 4 years. I don't know if anybody does that.
Well,
but I guess that still would be the goal, wouldn't it?
The goal is definitely to get to 4 years. Right
yes.
now, we're similar to many public universities, but we typically people talk about the 6-year graduation rate, unfortunately. But we really
the 6-year plan, right?
Exactly. Yeah. We really want to move those numbers up, and we think we have a plan to do that.
We have Fletcher McCusker on the program tomorrow. Of course, he's kind of synonymous with what's been going on with downtown development. But his new venture really is connected to the U of A. It's called
right.
UA Ventures. And I like this idea. It's kind of helping get companies startups, basically.
Right,
yeah.
Exactly. Yeah, so that actually is part of our side of it on the U of A has been incorporated into the strategic plan. And again, it's really getting our footprint downtown, and as well as working with companies to help bridge the gap between intellectual property at the university and the commercial world.
You know, something you said, and I think there's validity to it, when someone is looking to expand to Tucson and they want to talk to someone at the university, there kind of does need to be sort of a point person, doesn't there?
That's
that kind
exactly
of what
right.
I'm hearing? That,
yeah, definitely so.
Yeah.
The university is looking to hire, I forget the term, but a person like a senior vice president for innovation, which would be a person that would actually help both transfer our technology outward, but also allow people to work with the university more effectively.
When you have a strategic plan, Elliot Chu, what kind of follow-up do you are you going to meet every 6 months to see how things are going, or what kind of oversight do you have for this?
Yeah, that's a great question. One of the things that people always complain about with strategic planning is that people write these things, put them on a shelf, and then dust their hands off. We actually, as part of our planning process, developed implementation plans for over 90 initiatives. Not all of them will move ahead immediately, but actually a good handful of them are already being discussed about how we're going to fund them, and we're planning on actually kind of hitting the go switch right away. And so, as you said, we actually have a team that's being put in place at the university that will be focused solely on strategic planning. And that we have a website, actually, which is the strategicplan.arizona.edu, which will indicate the progress on each of the initiatives moving forward, as well as what the milestones are and where we're trying to get to.
That's an important question, the oversight.
Yeah,
people
very
say,
much
what
so.
Happens to this plan? Yeah.
Exactly.
So, Elliot Chu, always a pleasure, the Associate Dean of the College of Science. A lot of big things going on in your area with Biosphere 2 and all these other things. And, of course, we're talking with Dr. Ruiz yesterday about the lecture series that starts Tuesday. That's one of the most popular things in town. Standing room only sometimes.
Standing room only first day.
Yeah. Tuesday at Centennial Hall will be the first one. Distinguished Professor of Physics at the University of Arizona, Dr. Chu, always a pleasure. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Bill. Really appreciate it.
For more information about Sun Corridor, visit suncorridorinc.com. We'll be right back.
Vera
Piero Amore is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Piero Amore, Plaza Palomino and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Piero Amore on the web at pieroamore.com. This is Bill Buckmaster. I love travel and flying from Tucson International Airport. And when you fly Tucson, you're standing up for Tucson. When more people fly Tucson, airlines respond with more flights. And with more flights, more travelers can get here to conduct important business. It's a win for the region, and it's a win for you in time saved and money saved not traveling to an airport 2 hours away. Travel smart and fly Tucson. Check out flytucson.com. The Regional Transportation Authority's 20-year transportation plan is funded through June 2026 by a special taxing district, which is a state-established political subdivision within Pima County. The RTA plan and half-cent excise tax were voter-approved in May 2006, and the tax is collected within the district. More about RTA Citizens Advisory Committee's efforts to develop an RTA continuation plan at rtamobility.com.
Hey, it's Matt Russell from The Buckmaster Show.
And this is Ryan Hansen from Bon Voyage Travel.
I am so pumped to be partnering with Bon Voyage on my next culinary and cocktail cruise.
This is definitely a cruise for foodies as you experience the Mediterranean on celebrity cruises.
And the private excursions that your team has arranged for us? I mean, come on, an ouzo distillery tour in Greece? A food and wine day on Malta?
We'll handle everything, so all you and your guests need to do is eat, drink, and be happy.
Go to bvtravel.com/Matt Russell to learn more.
The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year. And if you are over age 65, it is more than 17 medicines. CredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers. Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers. Be informed and stay safe. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your healthcare by taking your medicines safely.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Green Things has been the place for all things green for the Buckmaster household for many years. From 2-inch succulents to 10-foot tall palms and desert trees, Green Things has it all on 13 acres and 33 greenhouses full of plants, pottery, and gardening supplies. Visit Green Things at 3384 East River Road by the Rito Riverwalk and on the web at greenthingsaz.com.
Today, more than ever, consumers want to work with a business they trust. Hi, this is Suzanne Miller with your Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona, reminding you that thousands of consumers go to tucson.bbb.org every week to inquire about trustworthy businesses. Is your business accredited with BBB? To find out more, call Celeste Angelini at 520-345-5837 or go to tucson.bbb.org and remember to always start with trust.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. You've been to Green Things lately? Oh my gosh, so many changes there. On their 13-acre site at 3384 East River Road, yes, you'll find everything you need for your garden, but you'll also find the wonderful Zocalo Village. This is five shops at the Village with all the great merchandise from Zocalo. Zocalo for years, highly respected for all of their merchandise over near Country Club and Broadway. Well, they're over now at Green Things, and it's bigger and better than ever. The quality of the merchandise, the finest craftsmen from Mexico, places like Peru, and in South America, you're going to find some incredible, some of those tables that they've got over there, that handmade mesquite tables, just beautiful craftsmanship. It would be worth your while to make it a destination. Check out 3384 East River Road by the Rito River, just west of the Brandy Fenton Park. GreenThingsAZ.com is their website. On the live line is State Senator David Bradley. Senator Bradley is in Phoenix, where he is preparing for the upcoming legislative session. He will be sworn in to another 2-year term. I believe Senator Bradley
Dave, this will be your fourth term. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Yeah. How are you, sir?
Good. Thanks for having me.
Tell me about what's going on up at the Capitol.
Well, I've managed to turn what is considered a low-paying part-time job into a full-time job for the same, for the same pay. So I'm probably not the person to ask for financial advice. But, in my new role as minority leader of the Senate, I'm trying to get to the lay of the land as quickly as possible and really getting people to try to focus on common ground. My interpretation of the election is that people should stop screaming at one another and let's begin at the beginning and find where we have common ground and values and vision and start from there. You know, obviously we'll be debating things at various levels, but let's not start screaming at one another right off the bat.
And I think you might find less of that over in the House, where the numbers align a little more closely with the equality of Dems and Republicans than the Senate really hasn't. The makeup, Dave, hasn't changed that much, has it?
Well, the numbers are the same as the previous term, but the makeup of the, you know, the personalities, where there's, I think we had a 50% turnover, I think in that ballpark. So there's 14, 15 new folks in the Senate as opposed to last year. And the president of the Senate is Karen Fan. She's, you know, the second woman in the state's history to be president. And she and I have a great working relationship. We know each other very well. And I think that's a different starting point than my predecessors had over the last 4 or 6 years. And some of the folks that came over from the House of Representatives on the Republican side, there's a few of them that are one would term as somewhat more moderate. And so I think the tenor of the Senate, even though the number is the same, the tenor is different.
We had President Fan, Karen, with us on our show, Dave, on Friday. I was impressed. She was very open, very candid, and we had myself and we had Dylan Smith from the Sentinels with us and Tim Steller from the Star. Kind of had a little mini news conference here last Friday. She was very open with us, I thought.
Yeah, I think that is her approach. We haven't had a lot of time to spend together since the election, but we have that relationship that we're going to be building on, and we've already set up, you know, ways that we're going to be communicating throughout the session regularly. Senator Fan met with every member of the Senate individually to kind of get a sense of what their priorities were, where their interests lie, and I that's pretty much a first in a long time. And so our members are, you know, always cautiously optimistic, but optimistic nonetheless, that this term will be a little different in terms of having our voices heard.
Is education going to be a front burner issue like it was kind of the issue last session?
Yeah, certainly. I think, you know, whether one accepts that a blue wave happened or there's just a strong undertow, I think the governor recognizes that 5 statewide Democrats won offices. The person right underneath him, in terms of taking over the position, if should he, not be able to, is a Democrat, and he is not lost on him that there's people out there that voted for him and also voted for a Democrat for Secretary of State. And so I think he has a sense that it is a different time in terms of communicating with one another, including one another in the formation of the budget in particular. But education is still, upfront and a clear issue in terms of ongoing funding for our teachers. We've had, I think, almost 1,000 teachers already leave the profession in this first semester, and money being the main issue that they highlight. There's other issues, of course, but so we got to keep doing better. We got to keep working on this and looking for long-term revenue sources, and that's where our arguments are probably going to occur, is what do those long-term resources look like and where do they come from?
Yeah, because salary-wise, it's pretty much built in. It's expected there'll be that 5% bump for teachers during this session. That's sort of money in the bank, so to speak. Nothing is ever certain, but, I mean, it's as certain as it can be, right, Dave Bradley?
Yeah, well, it's It's based on the governor based it on growth.
Okay.
and he's a businessman, and he knows there's business cycles. There's good times and there's bad times. I think he wants to put some money away and, you know, increase the rainy day fund, which I think will be supported. But nevertheless, we still have to look at, you know, in order to get through bad times, you have to have a diverse resource of money. You can't just rely on sales tax because that's what takes the first hit. And when you're in that position, you end up having to make huge cuts like we did 2008, 9, and 10. And so I'm hopeful that he appreciates that. I mean, I think he knows, and it's not big news. But we have to look at that, you know, that three-legged stool of tax resources and, you know, sales, property and income. And where do we go? How do we make this sustainable so that we can tell teachers with a certain face, hey, we promised you this and it's going to happen. We don't want to be in a position where, oh yes, right, the growth went down and that was based on that formula, so guess what?
State Senator David Bradley with us on the live line. He represents District 10, primarily the Tucson area. When was the last time we had a minority leader from the Senate from Tucson, David?
I think it was Jorge Garcia was the last time, which was probably 2010, I think.
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, that's good for Southern Arizona, isn't it?
Yes. I mean, I come with the U of A banner wrapped around my head. and that's always a contentious, you know, when we get down to the nitty-gritty of the budget about how things are divvied up between the three universities. So that's an important thing to have that presence. And just, you know, in general, I mean, there's other needs of our communities that are, you know, it's just not the state of Maricopa, and we, you know, try to voice the concerns of our constituents.
Usually there is a marquee issue or initiative that's put forth in the governor's State of the State address, and the State of the State is always the opening. At the opening bell of a new session, that will come around midday on Monday. Are we getting any inkling what that marquee issue topic might be?
Yeah, I'm assuming it's going to be education. I met with the governor the other day, and he didn't tip his hand. He just said, I think you're going to like many of the things that I have to say. you know, in front of that, of course, is the whole water issue and the deadline we're facing. I think that's going to take up our energies up front for a little while. And once we get that, I think we're fairly close to getting that dealt with. I mean, there's pieces that are missing, but I think by the time we convene and get going, I think we'll have a solution in a couple of weeks, I hope. And then we'll get on to the nitty-gritty of the budget process. And I'm assuming, you know, as we talked about earlier, the education is going to be up front and foremost.
How much is in the rainy day fund, Dave?
I think it's, at this point, I think it's sitting like at $450. It is statutorily controlled or limited, I think, to about $750 to $800 million, somewhere in that ballpark. And I think we do have this kind of magic pot of money. Some people call it a surplus. I don't call it that. When you, over a 10-year period of time, restrict funds from schools and from other areas and then kind of put that money aside, I don't call that a surplus. That's something else. And so I'm just calling it the fund. So we have the, you know, a nearly billion-dollar fund. And I think the intent is to try to focus on capital issues, both from infrastructure of the state as a whole and schools in particular. Okay. And I think there's common ground there. Again, my focus is trying to find common ground up front and not be screaming at one another.
There you go. David Bradley, thank you very much. We'll talk, Senator sure. Bradley, as the session gets underway. Thank you, Dave.
Thank you. Right,
David Bradley is the minority leader of the Senate, and he's from Tucson, which is a good thing when you're dealing with the folks up in Phoenix. That's going to do it for the Buckmaster Show. On behalf of all of us here at Buckmaster, thank you to our support team for making everything go very seamlessly, as they say. Have a great afternoon and evening. Steve Rivera, Eye on the Ball, is next.
KVOI Cortero, AM 1030, the voice of Tucson. trusted local news and talk, a Bustos Media Station.